And you can have the best strategy on the planet, but if you don't have a culture that can execute to that, that's willing to execute to that, that culture just have that strategy for breakfast and you'll get what you get.
Welcome to Real Leadership, a podcast that spotlights leaders who make, move, and process things in the real economy. Together, we go to the heart of leadership to discover the strategies and hard-earned lessons from pragmatic, gutsy leaders who operate in a world that is more steak than it is sizzle. I'm your host, Jim Weaver, Chief Executive Officer of the Ona Group, where we believe that real leadership matters. Let's go. Understanding your labor market is crucial for successful recruitment. Onan Staffing's Recruitment Strategy Guide provides insights specific to your geographic location and the positions you're hiring for. Our Recruitment Strategy Guide delivers a clear snapshot of your labor market and actionable intel to tackle market-specific challenges. With Onan's expertise, we help you navigate and win in your competitive landscape. Empower your recruiting process with the insights you need. Learn more about Onan's Recruitment Strategy Guide at onanstaffing.com/strategy. We are excited to have Randy Tucker on today's episode. Randy is the current chairman and CEO of Wine Shipping, a third-party logistics provider for the adult beverage industry. He's also a key board member of Geotis, a transportation and logistics giant that provides end-to-end supply chain management across the U.S. and internationally. Randy received a Bachelor's of Science and an MBA in Mathematics and Engineering from the University of Alabama. Early in his career, he held various executive leadership positions at ITC DeltaCom. He continued on then to Osborne Hesse Logistics, based up in Tennessee, initially serving as the EVP of Human Resources and Project Management before taking an instrumental role in facilitating OHL's acquisition by the French logistics company, Geotis. He then ascended to president and CEO of Geotis US, where he enhanced operation strategies and built a culture that drove client satisfaction across the Americas. In 2022, he took on the CEO role with Wine Shipping, where he leads in logistics today. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you, Jim, for having me today. It's certainly a privilege and honor to be here.
You know what strikes me about you as I'm looking at your background? You got your MBA in mathematics and engineering, and it takes about 30 seconds to figure out this guy's a people person. And I've heard you say that you're in the relentless pursuit of the perfect culture. So how does a engineering mathematics guy turn into a guy that makes such a priority out of culture? Have you always had that, or have you learned that over time?
Well, you know, I think it's a little bit of both. And what I mean by that is I think we're all given gifts when we're born. My gift was mathematics. It just comes natural to me. So when you say I have this degree in mathematics and engineering, that's accurate, but I really took the easy road. It just come natural to me. But mm-hmm. I have always been more of socially oriented, really getting involved with people and understanding who they are and what they are and how do we bring out the best in that person. So really the degrees were, you know, a bit of a shortcut because it just naturally come to me.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing to know. That's okay. That explains it though. So this relentless pursuit of the perfect culture, how would you define, what are the elements of this perfect culture or your working definition anyway?
Yes. Yeah, you know, it's a great question and use the word perfect. And it is true. I do seek the perfect culture in a company. you know, to borrow from Coach Lombardi, he said he always sought perfection, knowing that he would stumble upon excellence. And, you know, perfection's hard to get your arms around, but if you seek it, you will find excellence on the journey. The way I define culture, and I think if you just ask 10 people, you'd get 10 different answers, but it's really how things get done in a business and what's truly valued in a business. You know, there's always policies, but then there's practices. And do the policies and the practices really come together? The policies is what we say we're going to do. The practice is what we really do. And that's our environment, our language, our behavior, our attitude, our rituals, our traditions. It really represents the company's personality and the company's image. And it's the experience everyone has. And that's not just the experience of the people who work for Wine Shipping. It's the experience that the customers have. And it's the experience that our shareholders have. And it's the experience that our communities have. So that all encapsulates to me a culture of a business, and how you behave will determine the outcome you get. Just to add on to that, Peter Drucker once said, and I fully embrace this, he said, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And you can have the best strategy on the planet, but if you don't have a culture that can execute to that, that's willing to execute to that, that culture just have that strategy for breakfast, and you'll get what you get.
What are the elements? Do you have it? Do you have it kind of distilled down to, okay, well, these are the elements to an excellent culture. What are they in your mind?
Well, the first is understanding, you get your head around what is visible and invisible inside the business. You know, and in the visible part is, what is the vision? That's always stated. What is the strategy? What is the shared value? What is the policy? The invisible is the perceptions, the unwritten rules, the stories, the feelings. And so you've got to go below the waterline to see what are those things that I just said out loud and how they play into the soul and heart of the business. You know, the business, many times people think of it just operating inside the mind and strength. Because you can see the policies, and then you can see the facts, and you can see the behaviors, but you can't see the inspirations, and you can't see the heart of attitudes and appreciation. So you've got to spend a lot of time with people. I think that, you know, you hear in every business you go to that they have an open door policy. I think most of the time that's a myth. My door is really open, and I desire people to come in, and I will spend time in the executive teams and the companies that I've been fortunate to be a part of and serve in leadership positions. I'll go down and sit down with someone, and I don't talk to them the first 5 or 6 times about business. I just get to know them. I want to know who they are, how many children they have, what are their dreams, what are their aspirations. I practically never ask them about business during the first few conversations. I want them to get comfortable with me. There is a inhibitor to people on the floor or more junior people to have a real honest and raw conversation with people who carry these lofty titles. So you got to let them, you got to get to know them and let them know you. I could almost guarantee you that you mentioned OHL, you mentioned Jodis, and here at Wine Shipping. If you was to ask people who work with me what I do on the weekend, 90% of them would get it correct. What I do on a Saturday, 90% of them will get it correct. It's not that they care. It's just that I let them see Randy as opposed to the title.
Recruiting top talent is tough. Onan Staffing focuses on people, offering exceptional benefits to attract and retain dedicated workers. Partner with us for flexible, data-driven solutions. Visit onanstaffing.com to learn more.
You have run some massive businesses. When you talk about culture, we're talking culture at scale. We'll get into more depth on what Wine Shipping does, but it's, you have a national presence with them. I know Geodis very well. That is a massive company, international company. You were over the Americas. You can't possibly get to know everyone in the organization. Correct. So what tools, tactics, tactics, strategies did you use to scale your culture in an organization like that? Because it can't be all one-on-one, because you just not enough of you to go around. So how do you execute on that from that CEO position?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. When I didn't mention, I'm actually a two-time failure. I retired twice, failed at it both times. But when I retired from Geodis, we were 17,000 people on the payroll and another 5,000 that were temporary. So, you know, we were operating in 20,000 plus people. And you're right, it's hard to get to know 2,000, nonetheless put a zero on the end of that. Uh-huh. But there are techniques. I never once, and never is a long time, but I believe it's true to say that in the last 15 years, I've never held a staff meeting that I didn't cover a leadership topic. And the leadership topic is generally covering culture in one sense or another. Mm. And those senior executives that was in my staff meetings cascaded that down. Mm. Now, we use multiple medias to do it. People learn in different ways. And so we'd send out videos. We had stand-up meetings every day in our warehouses. And we do here at Wine Shipping, stand-up meetings mm-hmm. every day. So we cover it in multiple different ways. We use software where people can talk to us on the software that says, you know, I don't like that I have to stand. This is a real example. I don't like I have to stand 20 minutes in line to get to the microwave when I only have a 30-minute lunch. Okay, that's a very reasonable thing to say.
Yeah,
Let's go cure that. But we provide all kinds of avenues and different sources to speak to people and let them know that we care about what they say, we care about their experiences, and we'll take the appropriate action to make their experience the best one we can make inside the business. So a lot of different angles, a lot of different approaches, and you've got to be relentless to it, which is the reason I never held a staff meeting without having this topic. And if I went and talked to a group, if I boarded an airplane and we had at Geodis, we had 52 million square feet of warehouse space. If I went and spoke to someone and they didn't understand my language, that wasn't on them. That was on leadership. So I was going to go have a conversation as to why they didn't understand what I was speaking to when I used language like duty to communicate or other types of topics that we would cover, just to make sure that we're all are speaking the same language and we're all enjoying the experience we have. And I have a saying that everyone, and I do mean everyone, should always feel respected, appreciated, and valued. You can have hard conversations with people if the things aren't getting done properly, if processes aren't being followed.
Yeah.
But everyone at all times need to feel respected, appreciated, and valued, and no tolerance for that not being true.
Mm. That's good. You said something off mic I want to come back to. You said you have a policy of never taking yourself too seriously, but also taking the business seriously. So tell us more about that. That's a good phrase. I like that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. It's my view that what we do here is really important. And when I say here, I'm talking about Wine Shipping, but what anyone does in their business is important. Yeah. There's a lot of people involved, a lot of people that are affected, and you have to take that very seriously. You have shareholders and you have vendors and employees and customers and the community that you work in, and you have to be very responsible to all of that. But you can't walk in a room and believe that everything in this world is serious, particularly yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm never of the view that I'm the smartest person in the room. Sometimes I'm of the view that I may be the least, the dullest knife in the drawer. Mm. Notwithstanding, if you don't bring a sense of calmness and humor to everything, that lack of sense of humor and calmness will start to permeate a system. So I always want everyone to see me relaxed, because by and large, I'm always relaxed. I want everyone to have a sense of calm. I want everyone to understand I have a sense of purpose. And our purpose is to get a little better every day and to deliver the best service available on the planet. But do it in a way where everybody's having fun. We spend a lot of time here, and it's way too much time not to enjoy yourself on that journey. So I don't take myself seriously at all. I just take what I do very seriously.
Amen. I know it is. We spend way too much time working to not have fun.
Exactly.
I'm totally with you. And it's fun to be really good at what you do. That's fun too, right?
It is. You know, I wish every company, and maybe I shouldn't speak for every company, so let me just speak for mine. When I arrived here, one of the first things I did was I said, all right, we need to develop stands. What do we stand for? And pull the exec team together. And curiously, when you first ask that question, all the common things come out. Well, we stand for good customer service. Well, we stand for profitability. Well, we stand for sustainability. All the things that you could find in a junior business college book. Mm-hmm. That's not what I mean. Where we ended up was we stand for unity. And that means unity with one another, unity with our customers, unity with our shareholders, unity with this community. We stand for simplicity. We as human beings have this unique ability to make the simplest thing complex.
Yeah.
And so let's not do that. And we stand for fun, because everything we do, we should be having a good time with it. So if you was to go to our website and find our stands, you'll find it says unity, simplicity, and fun. And if you follow those three stands to its highest possible level, everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah. What do you think? I don't know what the percentage is, but I mean, it's got to be more than 50% of people working are not enjoying themselves. What do you think that is?
I think it's leadership. I think that everything that happens in a business is a function of leadership. I have a saying, I think people get sick of hearing me say it sometimes, which is, I think the difference between a performing company and one that does not is leadership. I firmly believe that the graveyard of corporate America has some companies in there that had great services or great products and had poor leadership, and that poor leadership drove them to that graveyard. Every company is a reflection of its leadership. Everything that happens in the business is tolerated or required by the leadership. And if you're not having a good time, that means the leadership created that environment, and that's why.
Mm-hmm. You've been around a while, so what's some bad advice you've got? Some of the worst advice you've gotten along the way when it comes to leadership?
Jim, I'm a little insulted. You said I've been around for a while.
I have been too. Let's be real.
Let's be real. You're right. I've been around a long while, unfortunately. You know, a couple of things comes to mind when you ask that question. I think that the dumbest thing I have ever heard in business is when someone says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, if we took that as like physics, you know, like it was some fundamental truth, we'd all be riding horses still. There's nothing wrong with a horse. It worked. I mean, it was terribly cumbersome. It was uncomfortable, but it worked. And so we should every day show up to be better. And it doesn't matter if it's not broke. What matters is, can you be better the next day? Companies should look at what they did yesterday, and if they had a great outcome and it hit every metric they wanted to hit, but they've learned today that they just figured out a way to do that thing better, they should celebrate it, put a bullet in it, and change it and do it better. Because every day, because if you don't get better, see, there's this vortex that wants to pull us into mediocrity. There's this just massive vortex, and if we don't strive to be better every day, someone will be. And you'll find that you have been passed by.
Yeah.
So, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's about the dumbest thing I have.
Yeah, that's some conventional wisdom that maybe needs to get a bullet in it, as you said. That's true. I understand you have some strong feelings about average. Is that true?
Somebody's been talking too much, Jim. Yes, I do have some strong feelings about averages. If you put one foot in a bucket of boiling water and the other foot in a bucket of frozen water, on average, you are just fine. Except that both feet are going to have to be amputated because averages don't work a lot of times. And the reason I have this powerful view that you mentioned is, I blew a $10 million hole in my P&L several years ago, done using averages. Without going into all the details, the way that the business was modeled that we were pursuing was modeled on averages, and it didn't show up on averages. It showed up on the two polar ends. And so the way that we designed our warehouse and our fulfillment system and distribution system did not work. And so by virtue of that, that created a $10 million problem for me. But it is the greatest example of what you can do when leadership really leans in. And we blew this, I'm going to get that word we out of there. I blew this $10 million hole in February of that month. I pulled the team together and I said, look, there is no possibility that we don't hit our earnings. Uh-huh. We gave our word at $103 million in earnings, and we're going to, $102 million in earnings, and we're going to give we're not going to point this. We're not going to point this and say, well, we can't do it. That event, and I also told the team, I said, look, you can think what you want to think, but you should not go outside this room and breathe life into, we're not going to hit our earnings. You're entitled to your own point of view, but don't go breathe life into this.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone rallied around that cause. We had to rethink several components of the business. It forced us to really think about how do we get materially better, because that 102 wasn't a layup. That was considered a stretch. And through just that making smart bets, being relentless to seek out how do we hit those earnings, we showed up on a plan of 102 at 103. So sometimes, you know, people ask me, you know, what's my greatest successes? And I'm being very sincere when I have trouble thinking of any. When they ask me what my failures are, I can always remember those because there were such great learnings that come from those failures. And that was my greatest right there.
Yeah.
$10,000 or $10 million blow.
Struggling with high turnover and burnout? Onan Flex addresses these challenges head on, offering a scalable solution with vetted part-time talent to fill staffing gaps. Onan Flex combats worker shortages and ensures your core team isn't overburdened, reducing turnover and enhancing job satisfaction. Empower your workforce and boost your success with Onan Flex. Visit onanflex.com to learn more.
Talk to us about Wine Shippers. What do you guys do for a living over there? I have a good sense, but I don't know what the listeners do. What do you do over there?
Well, you know, we are truth in advertising. You know, we ship wine. So,
oh,
yeah, that was kind of
very
crazy.
Apt name. Yeah,
who would have thought that? Right. Yes, we are the largest by far direct consumer wine shipping company in the United States. We're a fulfillment house, and the way that works is a consumer, let's say, Jim, you went online and you ordered a bottle of wine from one of our customers. Our customers are the wineries. Now, we see ourselves as an extension of them, but our customers are the winery. If you go online and it's one of our customers and you order a nice bottle of Cabernet, that will drop into one of our warehouses. And we will take that, let's say you ordered six, it'll drop in. We will pack those six bottles, package them, we'll load them on a truck, and they will show up at your house in whatever manner you described. If you said next day over air, we'll make sure they make that airplane. If you said, you know, slow boat to China, we'll put on a ground parcel service.
Yeah.
But however you want it, we'll make sure that it gets there. And we are, like I said, we're by far the largest in the United States. And you know, what's great about this business is a little bit of a barrier to entry. That part is great. The next part is that not great in that every state has its own rules around alcoholic beverage. So if you're shipping to California, that's one set of rules. If you're shipping to Alabama, that's another set of rules.
And I got to go get it at the ABC store in Alabama.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And we'll be happy to send it there for you, assuming that your winery that you bought for has a license. We make sure that everyone's compliant. We are very strict on the, because the regulators are. We're not going to ship if that winery doesn't have a license.
Huh. Who, you don't have to name anybody, but like, okay, so who is your client typically? Is it the wineries and people are ordering directly from the wineries, or these, I don't know, is it wine and cheese basket companies? Like how does that look?
No, it is the wineries, those who sell wine. There's traditional wineries where if you're familiar with Napa, you can run up and down the Silverado Trail and you'll see a whole lot of our customers. It's those brick and mortar buildings where they produce wine. But it's also, there is companies that have cropped up in the last 10 years where they're not a traditional winery. They don't have a brick and mortar. They're just an e-commerce company. Mm-hmm. But they do produce wine, and we'll ship wine from them as well.
Okay. Why do companies work with a 3PL, third-party logistics company, like Wine Shippers, like Yotis, as opposed to doing their own, just shipping it themselves? Why outsource that? What's the value prop?
Well, there's a couple. One is our core competency. And if you make widgets, you're probably really good at making widgets. That's what you do. And you probably do that pretty well if you're a successful company and there's a need for your widget. But being good at everything is very difficult. Our core competency is to do distribution and fulfillment. And that core competency means that we have the tools that are needed. If you think about you as someone selling widgets, if you choose to do your own fulfillment, you've got to get a warehouse. You've got to get a warehouse management system. You got to get a transportation management system. You got to get racking. You got to get forklifts. You got to get tracking systems. You got to have agreements with transportation companies, with parcel companies. I'll quit listing. But yeah. Also, I have scale. You mentioned Jodis. Jodis has tremendous scale. We at Wine Shipping, being the largest fulfillment, we have scale. So we can buy packaging and materials and other things much cheaper than you can, as a rule, just because our size. We can go out and procure favorable rates in many different areas of the business.
Yeah. How many warehouses do you have? And how is that distribution network set up?
At Wine Shipping, we have 12 different warehouses. 12, yes.
Wow, okay.
Yep. So we have them up and down California. There's really three main areas of growers in California. We have them in those three areas. We have a midpoint in Missouri. It's actually in Earth City, which is, if you go across the bridge, you're in St. Louis.
Yep.
And we currently have two warehouses in New York. So that covers, we can cover, I think it's 94% of the footprint population, maybe very clear, 94% of the population in 2-day ground if you distribute your products in all three of our warehouses. And when I say all three, I just said we had 12 in the three different areas.
Yes. Yes.
California, Missouri, and New York.
Huh. How do you, I guess the scale is not as immense with Wine Shipping as it was with Geodis. I mean, Geodis is, like you mentioned, just huge. I'm curious what you've arrived at as your goal setting framework for the organization. How do you develop, set targets for the year, for the organization? What's your process? And then how do you trickle that down in an organization that's the size of yours across the country? With Yotis, it was countries. Right. What does that process look like? I would imagine it have to be fairly robust, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a little more independent based on the sites.
Well, it is a robust process, but I wouldn't call it a complicated process. As I said earlier, we have a unique ability as humans to make the simple complex, but I try to make the complex simple. But I'll speak for Wine Shipping specifically. We look at what the market needs are. We look at what our competencies are. And then we'll put together a strategy based on what the market is looking for, and can we serve it in an effective manner? And what I mean by that is, if you're producing dog food and there's nothing but cats out there, you're on the wrong track.
Yeah.
So we study the market. We look at how the market's behaving. We forecast how it's going to behave, and that's not just based on staring at a wall. We do a lot of market research, both talking with our current customers, but also with experts in the field. And then we look at where there's opportunity inside the market, where the market's fragmented. And if a market's fragmented, there's opportunity. And so we will start punching holes in those fragmented parts of the market and try to, you know, bring that fragmentation toward us in a very competitive manner.
Yeah.
Lay the strategy out and then execute to that.
You guys have branched out into beer as well, right? Beer and liquor a little bit, or microbrews?
We have not. No, we have discussed doing that, but right now we got to make sure it goes back to what I said in terms of compliance, particularly in spirits. There's only 13 states right now that you can ship spirits in, and so we want to make sure that the juice is worth the squeeze on that, if you will. We have the facilities to do it with, but we want to make sure that we're fully compliant. Those compliance laws have variabilities to them. And in the beer space, we're looking more in the craft area. It is a highly competitive arena inside the beer.
The logistics part of it is, or the just the beer? Yeah, interesting.
The logistics, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sometimes it seems like you're better off keeping it simple, as you said. You know, if taking on a new... You would think it would translate pretty easy, but it doesn't always translate that easily.
No. Not in Elkville, I can assure you. And just to give you an idea how competitive the beer industry is, the logistics component of it, we did that at Jodis. Jodis does that. I shouldn't say did. Does that. And we'd have some of these large beer producers come to us and want net 365 terms.
That's my goodness.
Yeah, that's net 1 year.
They want a financing partner.
Yeah, could you give me a loan for free for a year?
Yeah.
We declined, but that's just how big and powerful they are. They have the backbone and the will to ask for that, and then you got to start working that problem.
Wow. Yeah, especially now with the interest rates up, that's not real appealing.
No.
You're a people person, you know, and you talked about developing your team and you having a passion for developing young leaders. What's something that you wish you could instill in every employee at Wine Shipping? What's a character trait?
Yeah, you know, I think you mentioned earlier that I think you kind of made a number up that said about 50% of the people who go to work every day aren't having fun. And I think your made up number is probably really close to being factually accurate. And I put that on leadership, and I still stand by that's where it stands. But there's another piece to that, and it is that some people are not doing what they love. And what I wish I could instill in every person is do what you love doing. And if you do what you love doing, you'll do it at a much higher level. And you will show up every day with passion and determination and a commitment to just really find a way to optimize every component of your day. But if you're doing something that you don't want to do, you'll find yourself on that being pulled by that vortex that I spoke to about earlier, where they're the vortex pulling you to mediocrity. And if you don't like the place you're going, you're not gonna optimize your day. You may sub-optimize it unintentionally, but because you're not really enjoying what you're doing, you're not giving it all you have. So, you know, I love everyone who works here. I love that they're here, but I would much rather them be somewhere else if they don't love what they're doing, because that's how you'll stick with it, and that's how you'll achieve intrinsic satisfaction. And I think that's key. I have never in my career chased an opportunity for an economic outcome. I've chased it because I thought I would enjoy it. I've chased it because I thought it'd be a lot of fun. I chased it because I thought maybe I could bring some value there.
Yeah. What were the motivations to take the Wine Shipping job and come out of retirement?
You know, that's, so I mentioned I was a two-time failure. The second time I retired, I did it much smarter than I did the first time. And so I went to work for some private equity firms, and I was serving as an operating partner for those firms. And the way I did it was they didn't control my schedule. I controlled my schedule, but I would go and work with them as they were doing diligence on companies. And I mentioned to you off mic that I actually lived out here in California from 1986 through 1992. I made my first trip to Napa Valley in 1987 and fell in love with the valley. And so part of the diligence that the private equity firm who bought this company asked me to serve as chairman. I was working with them, so I was delighted to do that. And that led, after the purchase, into another conversation of where would I be willing to lead the company to the next level. And I love the valley. I've been collecting wine for a few decades. I have way too many bottles. My brother recently did a calculation that says on my current consumption rate, I'm going to have to live to be 142 to drink it all. But, so I got a goal. I got a goal now. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know how much time you got to have. Yeah,
that's right. But that's how it happened. I've always loved the valley. I've been collecting wine for a few decades, and it looked like it'd be fun.
Yeah.
And I thought I could bring some value. So here I am.
Yeah.
Land top technical and professional talent with Focus. Focus specializes in direct hire and contract placements, connecting you to exceptional candidates in IT, engineering, management, and more. Elevate your team with Focus. Visit getinfocus.com.
What's something you've changed your mind on in recent years? You seem like a thoughtful guy. What's something you've shifted?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I have had what I would consider to be a meaningful shift in one area. I was, I guess what some could say was old school, in that I was of the view that everyone needed to show up to work on premise every day. And of course, when the pandemic hit, that no longer became a reality. And at the time, I was still at Geodis, and I was in Brentwood, Tennessee, which is where my office was located. And that building would hold 600 people. And during the pandemic, there was 20 of us that showed up to work. So we all had our own wing there, if you will. And everyone else was still dialing in. And what I learned was that everyone doesn't have to be there 5 days a week for 8 hours a day. Now, I do believe that you do have to come together, one or two times a week. I think that's important. I think that culture will start to degrade otherwise, and that culture, the collaboration will weaken. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that you can work from home, 3 days a week, and still get the same productivity you have. And as it turns out, have a much more satisfied employee base. Some things you can't work at home, and one of them is putting wine in a box, or putting a widget in a box, or getting your hair cut. Those are all going to show up at work. But
the delivery part of your business, you need people physically present for sure.
Right.
But it's been interesting to see that swing. I do think flexibility is highly valued by the workforce right now. And if you can provide that, it's attractive. If you can, I think it's wise.
Yeah. You used the right word. It's highly valued. And I think that's right, Jim. I mean, for me, I kept going to work 'cause that's where I get my energy from. All my tools, right here in front of me. I get my energy from getting up and going into the office. But others get their energy from other places, and I shouldn't cast my source of energy onto someone else. Let them have their own energy throughput and let them live their lives as long as they're producing at the level that they're capable of, and let them have the things they value.
Yeah. Well, Randy, it's been really great talking with you. How can folks learn more about wine shipping? and connect with you? We'll put it in the show notes, but what's the best way to find out more about your company, opportunities with your company, and to connect with you on the internet?
Well, we certainly have a web presence. We are reworking that. I'm not really happy with our website, but it shouldn't come as a shock to you that it's wineshipping.com. So you can learn more about us there. But if you go look at it tomorrow, I'd ask you to go look at it again in about 3 months. I think it'll be a materially improved as on our journey of continuing to try to get that continuous improvement that I spoke of earlier.
Yes.
And certainly, you know, you're welcome to. You'll find on that website a contact page for us. You'll find on there, if you're interested in doing business with us, there's a form for that. And if you just got any questions for us, there's a form for that. And just feel free to fill those out. And I assure you, you will get a response. We never ignore anything coming to this business. It's not available to not be responsive to any questions anyone has at any given time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, sir. Until next time. Keep it real, folks.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was powered by Onan, a family of staffing companies providing real staffing solutions to manufacturing, logistics, and food processing companies across the United States of America. To get in touch or learn more about partnering with an Onan Group company, visit us at www.onangroup.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.